Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you. It's awesome to be here with you and to share what God is doing, not only in our lives, but also share what I believe is something God is saying to you and I individually, but as a church. And I said in the first service when Sharina got up and led worship, when she finished and sat down, she could have gotten back up and preached my message. So you're going to get it twice. Maybe you know sometimes we need to hear something more than once. There's an idea that God is really trying to produce. Oh, wait, I forgot. I'm Billy Burton. We're so excited to be a part of what God is doing in Argentina. Don and I have been in ministry almost 50 years now. Maybe it's 50. Almost 50, anyway. We've been married for 55 years. We've have three children. We have eight children, eight grandchildren, and two great-grandchildren. And we're excited about all of them because of what God is doing. We have one of our granddaughters right now is actually on the mission field. She is with a group called World Race, which they take young people right out of high school. And she's spent three months in Costa Rica. She's got 3 months now in Cambodia. And then she'll be in Swaziland for the last 3 months. So we're excited about her. God is doing some great things in our family. We're really excited to see him. And my daughter has just gone on staff at a church there in New Brunswick. She is now a pastor there in New Brunswick, and we're excited for that. She also writes, and she has a blog and all kinds of stuff. But God's been good to us. And when we, as Pastor had said, when we got ready to retire, we knew that wouldn't happen because if I retired, my wife, first of all, told me I could not sit down, because I'd drive her crazy, and I would go crazy, and because all I know is really ministry. People talk about their hobbies and all the things that they do. I wish I had one. So if you've got one you want to lay hands on me to get, do that. I've tried, but I just love the Lord. I love ministry. I love ministering to people. I love the next generation that's coming on. There's an atmosphere in the kingdom of God that really, really touches on family. It touches on what we believe as a body here, as an organization, Grace International, and that is that God is raising families. We believe that. I believe it strongly. You see it in your church here with the family of leadership that you have in place, and I believe that that's what God wants for the body of Christ. Because when I came into ministry, there was a lapse of people training the next generation. I went to seminary, got my master's degree. I got out. I was pastoring while I was in seminary. I didn't raise anybody up because it was just understood that when you finished in this church, in the denomination I was in, you'd go to another one, and then you'd go to another one, and they'd find one, and had nothing to do with you. But what I believe that God is saying is it has to do everything with the fathers and the mothers in the body of Christ that are raising up young men and women to replace them, if you will, so that they can minister to the congregations and the generations that they're raised to live in. I believe that very strongly. So Don and I will be going to Argentina, working with Juan Carlos Masewicz and his ministry there. Big ministry. He has over 400 churches now all across South and Central America and in America, just different places. But we're excited to be doing that. We're excited that God is has raised us up for such a time as this. I'm 74 and my wife is 73, so that makes it sound a little silly that God raised us up for such a time as this. But we're just now getting started. We're on a new adventure, and we're excited that you're a part of that with us and partnering with us in it. So we just thank you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for what you're about here in Battleground. And Eddie, I have just a little extension to that word. Because just as she gave the word up here, God began to tell me that not exactly the same word, but then I knew something was coming. But here's what God told me to tell you. He said, you and Eddie both. Here's the picture I saw. It was like one of the peep holes in a door that you can look through and you can see just a little bit. And God really, I felt like God was saying that He has already shown you and Eddie what's on the other side of the mountain, but you have no idea what it's going to be like because all you're seeing is what you can see through that little hole right now. but to take courage and be encouraged, because there are things that you have been praying for, specifically you, Pastor, and then Eddie has joined you in those prayers. But they're over on the other side of the mountain, just like the Word said, but God's already given you a glimpse of it. Begin to declare and look for the timing, because the timing is near. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, anyway, as I said in the first service, I had a hard time trying to figure out what the title for this message that I'm going to share with you was. And when I woke up this morning, I felt like God said, this is what I want you to talk about. And so He gave me the title, A Bag of Rocks. And I don't know about you, I don't know about you, but when you think about a bag of rocks, you don't think about much, do you? How many of you have ever walked around with a bag of rocks? Well, in some ways we all do, you know, because there's a saying that when you have a bag of rocks, that means that you don't have much. It means that you're not really smart. There's a lot of negative things that go with the bag of rocks. God, that's what God gave me, so we got to deal with it, okay? I did, as I was thinking about this message back last week, as I was praying about what to share with you, I thought about David and Goliath, and I thought about his rock, you know, that he threw and killed Goliath with. So I've had the hardest time this week trying to work all that into saying, God, what are you trying to say? And so as I pondered and thought about it, God gave me the title, working title, if you will, Don't Be Afraid to Bring a Rock to a Sword Fight. Now, that sounds like an idiom, and it is. I looked up the word idiom. How many of you have ever heard any idioms? Three or four of us? You all have. An idiom is a phrase or expression that's meaning is, in most cases, cannot be understood directly from the words. In other words, you hear it and the words don't really make any sense. Now, in America, if I use the phrase, your back is against the wall, how many of you know what that means? You're in a tough place. Up in arms, how many of you know what that means? You're angry about something. Bend over backwards, that means you try to please or accommodate someone. Bring a knife to a gunfight, how many of you ever heard that one? You know, don't bring a knife to a gunfight. That means you're coming poorly prepared. But I thought, well, we all know those. But so you really get the point about an idiom, I looked up some things that our global neighbors use for idioms. In Armenia, stop ironing my board means stop bothering me. In French, when chickens have teeth, it means something is never going to happen. Also in French, I like this one. I have other cats to whip. It means you trick somebody. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That one means I have other things to do. This is one. Listen to this one. To tie a bear to someone. Now, this is from German. This is from Germany. To tie a bear to someone means you've tricked them. Also in Germany, an elephant made out of a fly. Now, that one really got me. Well, that makes sense. It means it's too big a deal. You're making too big a deal out of something. This one, how many of you love Shipley donuts? How many of you love any donuts? Listen to this one. Not all donuts come with a hole. Now, have you ever got a donut that didn't have a hole in it? Those old juicy ones, you know? How many of you love donut holes? But let me show you something. Not all donuts come with a hole means you don't always get what you want. Now, isn't that exciting? There's more. There's more that we can talk about, and a lot of them are funny. But when God spoke to me about David and bringing a rock to a sword fight, I began to realize that what God was really wanting me to see and us to see is that there was something specific about that rock, those rocks that have to apply to us, and what God really wants us to see and hear in our lives, especially right now in our lives. And I believe for the church in the coming year, this especially in 2020, we're going to see things that the church is going to have to begin to take some stands on. How many of you know the church is losing a lot of people? That's a scary thought. But you know why people are, I believe why people are leaving the church? I believe it's because they don't understand the God of the church. Because see, church can be boring. You know why? Because we don't know why we're there. We don't know the God that we're serving well enough to understand that when we come together in a group like this, do you understand the presence of God and the things that can happen when a group of people come together and believe God? I don't think we've seen it yet. I know that I've had the opportunity to be a part of different revival movements around the world. I had the opportunity to stand in the church in Wales where that great Welsh revival came forth, and we were able to pray together in that church and talk to some of the people that were involved in that early work there. I had some things out of Toronto that touched my life, things out of Brownsville. I was there for 2.5 years teaching in the school. I've seen some things that God's doing, but those things haven't changed a lot of people. I'm sorry. They're wonderful while they're going on, but the lasting results of revival seem to wane. Because somehow or other, God is doing this thing, and somehow we walk away from those moves of God, forgetting not just the wonderful feelings and emotions that were attached to them, we walk away from it forgetting the God who really brought that move into place so that the church could be made stronger, so that the body of Christ could see the things that God can do. And we can grab it and say, this is what my God can do. I want to grab on to this God. I want to live my life for this God. See, I want to see revival come, but you know what I really want to see happen is I want to see the body of Christ, young and old, I want to see the body of Christ strong enough in the Lord that when obstacles come, mountains or giants, when they come, and they're always going to be there, that we don't look at them and say, wow, God, what did you let this happen for? But we understand that there's a mountain there, there's a problem there, that God says, I'm bigger than that problem. I'm bigger than that issue. Because when we can see that as the body of Christ, that's what turns the body of Christ to the point where everybody gets excited, not just about the movement, not just about what God is doing, but they get us excited about the God of the movement. And there's a joy that comes that we say, man, this God that I serve. Let me ask you a question. Remember the story in the Bible when Jesus said to Peter, who do men say that I am? Remember that? And he said that some think this, some think this. But the catch of that whole passage of Scripture is when Jesus turned to Peter and said, now, who do you say I am? Who do you say that I am? See, the key is not what everybody else says. It's not what the church says about our God that sees the victory. Because we all believe strongly in the fact that God can bring the victory. I love that song, I'm going to see a victory. We are. If we see the God of the victory. And not the God, not the problem, and say, okay, God, this problem is bigger than you are. And see, sometimes we forget that because we don't really know who God really is. We call Him God, we talk about Him, we understand Him, but the Creator of the universe has given us permission to use the name of His Son against every obstacle that comes our way. Can you imagine that? That's how much He loves us. That's how much He wants us to find the victory that He's already provided for. How many of you would love to pray from victory instead of for victory?
That's good. Yeah.
Let me say it again. How many of you love to pray from victory as opposed to for victory?
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying? See, if I understand that I am going to see a victory, my thing is, how am I going to see it? My thing is, I'm not down here saying, oh God, would you... I'm up here with God saying, oh God, thank you. Because when I see that, when I understand that, and the church gets that picture, how many of you know, turn to your neighbor and say, you're the church. Now, turn to your other neighbor and say, I'm the church. Isn't it easier to say you're the church than it is to say I'm the church? Can I get an uh? You know why it is? Because the expectation of another person is greater than it is for yourself sometimes, because you know who you are. I know who I am, but it's easier for me to look at Pastor and say, you're the church, and so I'm expecting great things out of you, for you, with you, blah, 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 blah. But then when I turn to me and I say, I'm the church, You understand what I'm saying? See, that's what God wants us to see. He wants us to understand that we know who He really is. Now, it's just like, you know, anybody that you're going to learn Him by what you learn, what you've seen Him do, by what you've read, by what you've studied, by that time alone with Him in your quiet times, and those times of great movement when you're in His presence. Those are the things that help us to understand. The victories, the mountains that we overcome, the sicknesses, the diseases, everything that we overcome helps us to understand more of who He is. I love David when he wrote in the Psalms. It says that the children of Israel knew the acts of God, but Moses knew the ways of God. Isn't that exciting? God makes it possible for us to know His ways. That's why when Jesus said, I am, seven times, I am, you know what He was saying was? He says, hey, this is me, know me. These are things that I can do, know me. And so we begin this process of knowing our ways. It's kind of funny. This morning as I was getting ready to come to church, I have a vest. I told Pastor about this. My daughter, I don't normally wear vests. But my daughter got me this vest sweater for Christmas. And honestly, when I got up this morning and I started to come to church, I thought, I'm going to wear that vest. And I thought, Pastor Ed, well, he'll be wearing his vest. See, I don't know all about, but I do know that when I see, every time I see him in a situation like this, he's got a vest on. But let me ask you a question. What do you know about God? What do I know about Him? What is the need that we have in our lives to understand Him so that we can really believe we're going to see a victory? Amen. See, when you read the story of David and see what David was doing in all of his life and all the things that were going on in his life, there were a lot of things that had happened. David, if you remember in the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel, David was anointed king. And when he was anointed king, the Bible speaks very clearly about him. Let me just see if I can get there real quick. Let me read something to you here. Whoop. Hit the wrong button. When Samuel asked if Jesse had another son, listen to this. So Jesse sent for David. He was important for you to remember this. He was a handsome, healthy young man, and his eyes sparkled. Now, the reason I want you to see that is because when you read in the 17th chapter, and I'll show you in a minute, but when you read in the 17th chapter and David faces Goliath, he sees the same thing. He said, David, you're nothing but a kid. You're so sweet. You're good looking. What I told him in the first service was, I said, look, the devil knows you and God knows you. Now, which one are you going to believe? Now, when God said this dude is all right, we're going to anoint him king. That same person came over into a battle. He was just as good looking as he was then. He was so much so that the devil looked at him and said, there's nothing about you that can win this battle. See, it's funny how God sees us one way, the devil sees it, but he misunderstands who we are. If we agree with the devil, listen to me, if we agree with the devil about who he says we are, we miss the fact that God says, yeah, that's who you are, but look what I made you. See, David was a king. Now, what are we? We're kings and priests. Let me show you. The devil knows that, but he doesn't know the depth of that. Well, he looks at me, he looks at you, like Goliath. Who do you think you are coming against sickness and disease? Who do you think you are coming against depression? Who do you think you are coming against unemployment? Who do you think you are? You little whippersnapper, you're so cute. You go to church every Sunday, you sing all the songs, you do all that. But who do you think you are? I know who I am. Amen. But more than that, I know whose I am. So when I go into battle, I'm kind of like David. I don't know a lot, but I do know what I've learned. I do know those things. This bag of rocks I set it on the stand and it jingles, and we all know what that bag of rocks mean. David reached into that bag of rocks. He pulled out a rock. Where do those rocks come from? The Bible says there's a brook. And it's interesting because I don't believe anything's in the Bible by chance. There are symbols, there are types, there are shadows all through the Bible. And when you see a brook, when you see a river, you know, sometimes we think of it as a storm, but any time that water's involved and there's a storm, God controls it. But do you know what a brook does? A brook rolls the rocks and smooths them out because it's a gentle rolling like this. It's kind of like what the Holy Spirit does with us. He will walk with us and work with us and roll through life with us. And He's sharpening, He's cleaning us, He's getting us ready more to be like His Son. But here's what I want you to see about that stone. When He picked it up, it's a picture of what He got from God. And He put it in His bag. And see, when He had this in His bag, He's going to go to before Goliath, who doesn't, He knows He can beat this man. The only problem is David knew he couldn't. When you read the scriptures and you see what David is doing, David says, when Goliath looks at him and calls him this little sweet little thing, you know, same thing that God saw. But here's what David says. You know, you come to me with a sword and a spirit. I have only one thing. It's not the rock. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not the rock, but I come to you in the name of. Did Jesus tell us when we come into battle to use His name? In the name of Jesus, that's how I'm fighting this battle. But I need a rock to do it with. See, in every battle that you and I go through, we need a rock that the enemy cannot stop. We need a rock, something that we can hold on to and say, this is the way I'm going to defeat this enemy. And we reach into the bag and we pull out something. I told him in the first service, next time I preach this message, I'm going to have a bag of rocks up here. But you know what else I'm going to have in it? I'm going to rattle the rocks, but there's a promise for every situation that you face that you will never hear God rattle. God says, if you trust me, you get the whole bag. All I'm asking you to do is come and reach your hand in to the Holy Spirit. And say, Holy Spirit, I'm having these issues right now. I'm asking you, show me which rock to pull out. Show me which scripture that defines the answer that I'm going to pray from. Defines the situation and the promise that God has got for depression. I pull it out. I don't have to be afraid anymore because God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. I don't have to distrust God. You can pull out any scripture out of God's Word that will satisfy any need in our lives. And that's what we began to throw at the enemy. But see, if I don't know God, I'll pull one out and I'll say, oop, that doesn't apply to me. You don't understand. I can't give because I just don't have enough money right now. God says, I understand that. But if you'll give, then I'll take care of that. The 90 will go a lot further than the 100 did. If you'll just be obedient. I had a guy one time come and ask me to pray for him, for his finances. And God said, just ask him if he's a tither. I asked him. No, I can't afford it. The moment he said it, God said, don't pray for him. But explain to him why. See, because when we give, God promises by His Word that He will bless. See, I have to know that about God. With sickness and disease, the Bible says, by His stripes we are healed. Oh, but you just do not understand. I don't care what happened or didn't happen. I went through 4 years. I had a blood clot, I had prostate cancer, and I had both knees replaced in a 4-year period of time. I'm a miracle believer. I didn't get a miracle. But I'm telling you one thing, I can move my knees today. I don't have a blood clot. I don't have cancer. Because God is my healer. So when you talk to me about healing, I can reach into the bag and I can say, devil, you're a liar, because my God said, by His stripes I am healed. And until I die, I am healed. And when I die, if I hadn't got it yet, I got it completely there. Because God is faithful. David said, you come to me with all this stuff. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He pulled out that rock. He began to sling it. Now, can't you just imagine Goliath? You little wimp. Now, remember, he's covered from head to toe. So David swings that thing. You know what Goliath's problem was? Listen, he thought he was unstoppable. God said, I'll hit you right where you think, brother. Because I want you to know you're stoppable. So David swings and he releases that rock and the stone hits him right here. Let me tell you what, the devil thinks he's smarter than he really is. He thinks he can do that. Don't get me wrong. I believe that there's a devil. I resist him. I try to live my life covered with the blood of Jesus, with my understanding of the armor of God. I believe that. But he's not as smart as he thinks he is. Because when the church finds out who our God is, and we begin to declare what our God says over our situations, when that happens, then the enemy begins to fall. Because he cannot stand against our God. We will see a victory. Yes. We will see a victory. Not because of what we do, but because of what God promised.
That's right.
So, what I'm asking you to do today, whatever circumstance, whatever situation you're facing, do like I did. When God said to resign and go to the mission field, I had to reach in and get a promise. Let me tell you what, it's a big deal to move from Texas to Argentina. I didn't know how big a deal it was. Those of you that have fought with Medicare trying to get it all set up, can I get an amen? But God said go, so I had to have a promise. And with that promise, we face every enemy. And we declare that promise over and over and over. This morning I asked God, I said, God, I really haven't had a word yet for 2020, for me. I said, what will that word be? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So I'm living the rest of 2020. I believe that. I've said it before. But this is something God spoke directly to me. And I believe my God. So when the enemy comes and says, you can't make it, I say, wait a minute. My God is with me. He never leaves me. But more than anything else, He doesn't forsake me. So devil, every mind game, every doubt, every unbelief that you feel like you're alone, get out of my life in Jesus' name, because I'm not alone. And I am more than a conqueror. Father, thank you that the promises of God are yes and amen. Thank you that everything that we face, every mountain, every giant, every problem we face, God, thank you that you are our answer. And Lord, you've given us your word to be able to throw against the enemy. You've given us your word to begin to declare out of our mouth, thus saith the Lord in the name of Jesus. And God, we declare that promise. Lord, we want to see it immediately. We want to come to that point where we're seeing the miraculous again. Lord, we want to see the miracle power of God work. But Lord, we know that every day that when the enemy is defeated, we've seen a miracle. When we're found victorious over our own thoughts, when we take them captive as you told us to, we've seen a miracle. When we have the joy of the Lord to rise up inside of us over the problems, we've seen a miracle. God, we want to see it more and more. So teach us as your church, as the body of Christ, help us to know you more than we've ever known you before. That you will be glorified not only in our generation, but the generation to come, that the church will be stronger then than it is now, that we'll see the decline stop and we'll see a growth, not of numbers only, but a growth of power as you move in and through and around your people. We bless you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Billy.
Thank you, Eddie.